I want to continue to preach about Colossians chapter 3. And it's actually about marriage. It's about relationship. Some of you are not married. Some of you are widows. Some of you, for whatever reason, don't have a spouse. But I pray that in spite of that, you will get something out of this, because it's more than just husband and wife. It's about relationship with God. Amen. So, love and respect. I just feel, can I just give you a couple of jokes? Is that okay? I think you need to a little, I need, it's a little serious, this sermon, so you need to laugh a little bit first. The party's host paid me a great compliment. "You're a good looking woman," he said. "Honest, I've only had one beer. My glow was only slightly dimmed when my husband interjected. Imagine how great she will look after two." A police officer jumped into his squad car and calls the station. "I have an interesting case here," he says. "A woman shot her husband for stepping on the floor she just mopped." "Have you arrested her?" asked the sergeant. "Nope, not yet. The floor is still wet." "I once gave my husband a silent treatment for an entire week, at the end of which he declared, 'Hey, we're getting along pretty good, great lately.'" "After finishing our Chinese food, my husband and I cracked open our fortune cookies. Mine read, 'Be quiet for a little while.' He read, 'Talk while you have a chance.'" "As the music swelled during the recent wedding reception, my hopeless romantic husband squeezed my hand, leaned in, and said, 'You are better looking than half the women here.'" That's what not to do. "On the morning of her birthday, a woman told her husband, 'I just dreamed that you gave me a diamond necklace. What do you think it means?' 'Maybe you'll find out tonight,' he said. That evening, the man came home with a small package and gave it to his wife. She ripped off the wrapping paper and found a book titled, 'The Meaning of Dreams.'" I did not write them, so I'm okay. Here's the scripture out of Colossians chapter 3, okay? And it says, "Wives, submit yourselves to the Lord, to your husbands as fitting in the Lord." So, you know what? I usually do this. I do lots of premarriage counseling. Many of them have never read the Bible. Some are believers, but they still haven't read the Bible. And so I started with this. This is where I start. I just, "Wives, submit yourself." And I look at the reaction. I just wait back and look. I look at the reaction on the guy. He usually smiles. But she, on the other hand, I can see the hairs coming up on the back. And think, what on earth have I got myself into? And you see, we usually don't know each other. They give me a call and says, "Would you please officiate the wedding for us, whatever, at such a time?" I said, "Sure, you have to come and meet with me for 5 times, and I'll do it." And so I start. This is how I start. And I can see the reaction. I can see, this guy is nuts. And, you know, this is one of the words in our culture that is not really popular, called submit. How many knows that? Submit and servanthood is not something that is really exciting. So I'm going to preach to you today about something that is really is exciting. I didn't get a whole lot of amens for that one. But you see, if this is all you know, that seems unfair. Submitting seems like, I'm going to give up something for somebody else. Why should I? Like, why should I? Submitting seems like I'm less valuable than somebody else. Why should somebody rule over me and control me? I don't want that. But we're sharing a bit of his testimony. And it really stemmed back to a completely dysfunctional background. And why was that? Because I believe that dysfunction comes from a relationship that is simply not built on how God intended it to be built. So you see, the next part says something to the wives, something to the husbands. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. That's better. Now I got a smile on her face. In Ephesians chapter 5, it goes into more details. It says, and let's read it together, shall we? Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He loves his wife and loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must... I was very quiet. And she must respect her husband. Amen. So sometimes I hear this. A man will come to me and he'll say, my wife ought to submit to me. And I cringe. I thought, and this is what I say to him, that message is not for you. That was not given to you at all. This relationship is not about controlling or manipulating one another. It has something to do with how you are designed and nothing to do with power over one another. You see, Paul writes this because the women are in the congregation. He's talking to them. But if it had been according to the culture, it would have never been written to the women. It would have been written to the men. And the men would have been told, be sure that your wives submit to you, and if they don't, use a stick. Somewhat what we see in the Middle East today, in some of the Middle East countries. But Paul said, no, I want you ladies to submit, not because you have to, not because you're intimidated to, not because of force, not because he's more powerful than you, not because of this or that, but because from your heart, I want you to submit to him. And this is the reason. It is because the man is somewhat different than a woman. How many knows that women come from Venus and men come from Mars? And somehow you got to have to fit this together. So how did this, and men are different. They are project oriented. They're more project oriented than their relational. And men wants to succeed. They want to be able to do, they want to know they're good at it. That's really they want to know. And they want to lead. There's something in them. They want to be the provider and the protector and the leader of the home. That's part of it. Many, many, many marriages that I see coming apart is because the man has for whatever reason, has never stood up to that position, or she doesn't allow him to. Hear me. I have 3 points today. Wow. I'm organized. The man wants to succeed. And when he has a woman who understands that and helps him to succeed. Do you know what it says here? A man needs, it says respect. The respect for is telling him, you can do this. You okay, you can do this. It's like, but how many knows that, and let me just go back. We all men, all us men, whether you're married or not, want to succeed. We want to succeed in a relationship. We want to succeed in a workplace. We want to succeed as a parent. I mean, no, it's true. But we don't always know how to do that. In fact, I can say, rarely we don't know how to do all that. There are some things we're really good at, but some things we need to learn. I'm not naturally good at being a good husband. How many has ever encountered that? You got married and you discovered that you're not as perfect as you thought you were. Because you married somebody who was very different than you. I have to learn to be a good husband. I want to succeed. But you see, if I go home and there's grumbling and complaining and like a dripping tap, guess what? I'm not going to go home. Because I'm being told over and over I'm a failure. I will never measure up. And if that's what I'm told by my spouse, my heart will be closed. But when my wife decides that there's something good in him, and she affirms it, she honors me, I will rise up to her expectation. But Hans, you are not, but this is wrong with you. I know. I know there are things that are wrong with me. I know that I don't always do the right things. Can I just add to this for a very quick second? Do you know what really closes the heart in a relationship is? When the moment you begin to read the motives into that child, to that man or that woman's heart. Oh, he doesn't. You know what? Hans, he never does this because he's so selfish. You know what that happens? Instantly, I want to defend myself. And I read it as disrespect. But when my wife said, Hans, there's something we need to talk about. You know something is coming. And she says to me, Hans, when you do that, that hurts me. When she says it in that manner, then she respects me. And she's not there to criticize me or put me down. She's there to help me. Because I want to succeed. And there's no better way for me to learn than from her. How can I learn how to love her, but let her teach me how to love her? So when the Bible says submit to one another, the husbands also need to submit. And his need, a male's need, is to be able to succeed. And the woman has a great power to help her husband succeed. I mean, it says amen to that. A woman also has a need. And she has a need to succeed as well. No question about that. But her need is not the same as a man. He wants to be, he's project oriented. He wants to be able to do this. He wants to be a provider. No. A woman wants to be loved. She wants to know that she's special. She doesn't want to be told by her husband, you are more beautiful than half of these. No, she wants to be told that you're the most beautiful of all women in the whole wide world. There is none like you. That's what a woman wants to be known. That's why it says, so husband, love your wife. Because that's her need. That's her need. I'm called, according to the scripture, to make her holy, blameless, without wrinkle. That's a spiritual role that we are called to as husbands. But how do I do that? I asked my wife and she said, well, when you pray with me, when I read the scriptures with her, and that's true. But it's also true when I identify how God made her and I bring that out in her. When I declare that she's most beautiful and she has the most incredible anointing in worship, that she's absolutely amazing grandmother. She has a heart of love that oozes out. When I identify that, I am bringing out the beauty in her. I'm setting her apart to be what she's called to be by God. How many says amen to that? So, another point I want to make is that the Christian marriage is a covenant marriage. And the difference is it's a long-term commitment to one another. You see, God knows that we are very selfish, naturally. How many discovered that? Nobody? I'm going to ask your spouse. And you see, the way that God can change our character and make us more Christ-like is by getting us married to somebody who's different. It's like sandpaper and wood. You know, there is a scratching. The covenant is this. How many have been at a wedding when you hear they make a covenant with one another? The covenant is not, I'm going to love you. The covenant is, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to be for you through what? The good times and the bad times. That's the covenant. You see, the marriage reflects God. Jesus and his relationship with his church is reflected in the marriage between husband and wife. And it's built on a covenant. I love you unconditionally. No matter what you do or don't do, I love you and I'm going to be with you. That's what Jesus says. Not because of what you have earned, not because of what you do, but simply because you are special in my eyes and I choose to give. And when there's little to give, I'm still going to give it. That's covenant for a long term. How many says amen to that? We live in a consumer society. Consumer relationship is very different. If you go to the grocer, you have a consumer relationship with the grocer. He provides you with groceries at a certain price. But if there's another grocery starting up somewhere else and they have cheaper prices, you go to that grocery and you forget about the other one because your relationship with the grocer is not based on a covenant. It's simply based on consumer. So if he doesn't provide as good a one, but this one does, forget about you, grocer. I don't care about you because I don't care about that relationship. I just want my cheap goods. But a covenant relationship is not like that at all. I have my little grandchildren putting Paul to sleep right down there. And my friends, when they come into my life, I don't look at them as some kind of consumer goods. I look at them as somebody I want to die for. How many has your heart filled with love for your kids, your grandkids. And before you know it, man, you're willing to die for your kids. That's a covenant relationship. That little Caleb, he eats, he poops, he cries, there's nothing there, but there is a love. There's a covenant relationship. And no matter what happens, you know, even if he grows up to do something we hate him to do, even if he does something that is completely radical against what we believe, we will still say, I love you, Caleb. Amen. That's covenant. And that's what the Bible is basing the marriage on. I wanted to add this too. I'll never say, if you are living in an abusive relationship, that is not what God is talking about. God will get out. If there's an abusive relationship, physical, sexually abuse, get out. So I'm not talking about that, okay? I'm talking about working together, becoming Christ-like in our relationships. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, it says amen to that. In our culture, my friends, many relationships is built on a user relationship. Hey, if you don't provide for my needs, if you don't give me what I want, there's another grocer over there. There's somebody else who can. But that's not a covenant relationship. And it leads to all kinds of brokenness. Amen. So let me just share with you this last story, and then I'm going to ask the worship team to come. How many believes that marriage can be an awesome thing? Amen. I just like Bud, I saw my own parents divorce. And I could have fallen down the same road. But praise God, he showed me something different. The story I want to just share with you is a story of a guy called Jimmy Evans. How many heard of Jimmy Evans? So if you heard the story, just bear with me for a minute. But I really feel it applies. Jimmy Evans was a chauvinist. He was selfish. He even had an affair a week before he got married. I don't know how they overcame him that, but they did, and they got married. And one day he came home from church, and he was going to go golfing. And his wife sat down with him and said, Jimmy, I want you to stay home and be part of this family and not always disappear. And his selfish arrogance, he looked at her and said, get out, pack your bag and get out of here. She went into another room and cried. Then he sat down and he remembered that morning that he heard in his devotions, he heard the scripture say, the Holy Spirit has come to bear witness to the truth. So he said, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to handle this. Show me the truth. And instantly God showed him his amazing selfishness and self-centeredness. And he broke and repented. See, God is in the business of changing us, and he is using our spouse. But I tell you, a quick way of getting around this is to talk to him directly and ask him, God, how do I do this? I don't know how to do this, but God, show me. And many times when you think it's your spouse who needs to get fixed, God will show you what you need to get fixed in you. And he went and repented to his wife, who had some issues trusting him for good reasons. But at that very moment, it changed him because God changed him. And praise God to his wife who stuck through until the change came. Amen. Whenever I preach about marriage, there's a lot of pain. And a lot of pain in the room. And I'm not here to inflict pain on anyone. I'm just here to help you understand that a relationship with one another starts with a relationship with God. Jesus submitted himself to the Father. And he's saying to us, as he's the head of the church, so we are the head of the home, men. And as Jesus laid down his life for the church, lay down your life for one another. Amen. Let us stand.